anywhere, I would follow one. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on.
Let's sing the last.
Down in the valley or upon the mountain's teeth, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on.
Man, you may be seated. Once more and turn to 355. 355. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus, He changes me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame, though magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
On the last,
wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, singing, greater far than all my sin and shame, oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Amen. Please be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements while we're at it. This Saturday, somebody got her under 24-hour surveillance. No, make sure this thing's going to take place. This Saturday, 3:00, everybody's invited. It's April, and Colton's getting married. Woohoo! You excited? Colton, are you excited? Okay. Next question. Colton, are you scared? Okay. Very good. All right. We got a list of Christmas parties here also. Find yours, mark it. The ladies has got a $10 to $15 limit on the rat, but no name attached to it. And the men has got the $15 to $20 thing wrapped, but no name attached to it. I don't understand why the guys get to spend more. But anyway, that's just the way that goes. All church Christmas banquet is going to be on the 13th. The church is going to provide the ham. We're going to ask everybody to provide two dishes. And there will not be an evening service to follow. There's going to be a baby shower for Miss Kelsey to get ready for Lucas Wayne. That's going to be on the 16th, so all the ladies are invited to attend there. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity just to hear to come worship, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Lord, just thank you for the change of the season. Lord, driving today, seeing the beautiful fall colors, just all of a sudden you just blessed us with. Lord, right now we're asking to be at the offering we're about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. Lord, please, please, please be at the preacher today. Just hide him behind the cross and give him the words that you want him to say. But Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. Ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. There's something about that name. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. Yes, there's something about that name.
Man, what a name. We're here because of that name. Indeed. Thank God for the name whereby men must be saved. You can be turning this morning to 2 Peter, Peter's second letter, chapter 3. We're going to look at the last two verses of that chapter. We'll back up later and look a little bit more of the chapter, but when you found your place there, please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Verse 17, we read this. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." The word amen means make it so, so be it. Might it be so in our midst today. Father, we bow before you once again, asking you in that name, beautiful name that the men just saying, Lord, I ask you, please, have your way, have your will right here in this auditorium today. Father, I'm asking you to start right behind this holy desk and work in every heart present. Lord, I don't know, as a man, what the needs are around this auditorium, but I'm asking you, Father, by your Spirit, that you'd move and work, whatever the need might be. For those that are here today and struggling and battling in some area in their life, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, what'd you do for them? Maybe there's some in our midst today that are yet without that hope. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying, oh Lord, I plead with you to make him real to their hearts today. Would you, by your Spirit, be pleased to introduce folks to Jesus? They might come to know him, Father, as their Savior, as their Lord. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit today. It's in Christ's name and for Christ's glory we do pray. Amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. I realize that this is a silly question. At least I think it's a silly question. Would you rather grow or wither? Would you rather grow or wither? Now, to wither means to shrivel up, to dry up. To wither means, oh my, to be absent of that vitality of life. To wither is the opposite of growth. Growth means there is life. Which would you rather do, grow or wither? Well, hopefully our consensus is that we'd like to grow. Peter refers to some things here in verse 17. He says that we should know. He says that ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things. And the idea is that, of course, he's trying to communicate what that you know these things that I wrote you about here. You know these things that are contained in this letter. I've told you before. You've been taught these things before. Well, the theme of Peter's letters, both of them really, is having hope in the face of persecution. Having hope even in the face of persecution. As Paul wrote these letters, the persecution against believers was growing and growing. It was getting more intense all the time. Of course, they were persecuted by the Roman Empire. They were persecuted by the Jewish leadership. And that persecution was intensifying along the way. Peter's desire was to help them deal with that persecution. Now, there's no way we can, in this single message, go back and deal with everything that Peter says in this letter. But I want us to back up just a little bit and pick up, back in about the middle of chapter 3, and pick up on a couple things that Peter was seeking to share with them. And all the way back in verse 9, Peter writes and he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The idea is our God is not going to delay his promises. It's not slack concerning the things that he promised. He will carry out what he says he will do. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every day that the Lord delays his coming is an act of his mercy. It's an expression of his grace in that he gives lost men yet another day to repent and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He goes on in verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come. All that I've said, Peter says, all that's been taught in the Scriptures concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and what will follow that will take place. It will come as a thief in the night, in a sense, at a time you're not expecting, although we should be watching. We should be prepared, ready for the Lord's return. But even at that, it's going to come, even when we're unawares, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. This old world is passing away. You know, they talk about how things are, climate change, or they don't say global warming anymore, it's climate change. beings, the temperatures are actually going the other way. They don't talk about that, but in reality, this old world is coming to an end. This world is going to change as we believe from the Word of God. Verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. This world's coming to an end. With that in mind, understanding that, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Talking about how we ought to live. We that know the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding what His promises are, understanding what indeed the future holds, should live in light of that. We should live lives that honor our God. He says in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, or in spite of this, we, who's the we? Believers. We, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's some things we're to be looking for. In verse 12, it says we're to be looking for that coming day in expectation that the Lord will fulfill His promise. In verse 13, hey, I'm thankful that though this world is going to pass away, hey, what we see now around us is going to be history someday. But we've got our eyes. Hey, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. In verse 14, he reminds us, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent. Be serious about these things. Give ourselves to this. Verse 15, he says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He begins and ends with the long suffering of God. Verse 9, he says that, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our God is putting off, initiating those days because of His love for souls. His desire that men would come to repentance. And how's He close that passage, verse 15? An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. What's our God concerned with? The salvation of souls. That folks would be delivered from that destruction that is ahead. You know why? And I read this passage, and I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking how the world looks at this message. What's the picture the world likes to portray here? They want to portray somebody dressed up like Elijah or something, some Old Testament prophet, and a beard down to his waist, and you know, the white hair, and wrapped in a robe or something, with a sign, with a billboard sign saying, "Repent, for the end is near." Well, it's the truth. Amen. The end is near. It's nearer today than it was yesterday. What's our message? That you don't have to perish with that. That our God is a God of salvation. He's a God that is long-suffering. He suffers long with men in their sin, in the opportunity for them to be saved. Who and what are we to be focused on, folks? Who and what are we to be focused on? Hopefully, we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. His kingdom. We have hope. We have a hope that transcends the trials of this world. Christ. Christ is our hope. He's an eternal hope. We get so focused on this world. Out of necessity, I understand. We have to work and we have to, got to put beans on the table, got to keep the furnace running, you know, keep a roof over our heads. We understand that. But we get so focused on those things that we think in some way this world is going to last forever. Listen, read that description. This old world is going to melt. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to pass away. But there's a new world that's going to take its place. Huh? My hope is not in this world. It's in the world to come. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've got something to look forward to. Indeed. Well, with this concern on his heart, Peter closes his last words of his last letter to God's people with this strong exhortation here in verses 17 and 18. He wants us to learn to apply truth to our lives. In light of all this, we need to understand what God says. We need to learn how to apply truth to our lives. He says there in the beginning of verse 17, he says, "Ye therefore, beloved," who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. He says, "Seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Whatever comes our way, beloved, we can apply biblical truth to it. We can apply the Word of God and His promises to it. There's a very real danger, as we read here in verse 17, that we could be led away into error. Into error. There's the danger. There's the danger of that. The wicked one, Satan, through the workings of this lost world, is constantly trying to divert us from God and His Word. He wants to divert us every which way He can to get us off what our focus should be and focused on other things. You know, we might protest, "Preacher, I know the Lord. I'm saved. How in the world could Satan or false teachers mislead me?" Well, it must be possible, or Peter wouldn't be warning us. Paul gives us similar warnings in his letters. We need to be careful, lest we might be led away. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, the Lord warns us and he says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." The warning. There will be false teachers. There will even be false Christs. And we need to beware. We need to beware who we listen to. It is essential that we carefully test things whether they're of God or not. How are we going to know that? By whether it lines up with His Word. By whether it lines up with the Scriptures. Don't let somebody lead you into something that doesn't line up with His Word. The better you know this book, the quicker those flags will pop up, those red flags, when somebody tries to teach you error. Remember, even Satan can appear as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Paul there tells us, he says, "And no marvel." He says, it shouldn't surprise us. "It's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, his servants, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." Transformed. False ministers, false teachers. "Who's him? Shall be according to their works." Oh my, it's possible that we could be deceived. So it's very important that we take heed here to Peter's challenge to us. We need to learn how to apply the Bible to our lives. To our lives. Not, hey, apply the Bible, not the world's wisdom. Don't try to apply your feelings. Our feelings will lie to us. Don't try to apply tradition. That was a mistake of the scribes and Pharisees of our Lord's day. We need what God says in His Word. Apply the principles and the truths of life. We need, secondly, to learn to guard against error. In that, then, learn to guard against error. In verse 17, as we just said, "Beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness." We pick up down in again in verse 14 where we have this warning error. It says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, be careful, that you may be found in Him," in Jesus, "in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Now, first of all, beloved, as we read that, I'm thankful that Peter affirms to us that Paul's letters were scripture. He adds them, he says, as also the other scriptures. In that, including Paul's letters were of God. They were given to us of the Holy Spirit of God. And as the Apostle Paul, Peter, the others would teach us what we need to know from the Word of God, we need to apply ourselves to it. It's not always easy. As Peter says here, there's some things here that are hard to understand. To be understood. I don't know how many times Marcia and I will be reading in the morning, and especially when we, this time of the year, and we're reading those old prophets in there, Ezekiel and Isaiah and sometimes Jeremiah, and you're reading around in there and you maybe read a chapter or so a day and you think, what's he talking about? And we'll look at each other. I know one thing. He's telling them they better straighten up. It's pretty simple. Israel and Judah were a mess, and those prophets were there calling them back to repentance. And if you keep that in mind as you read through there, you'll see that call, that warning from the prophet. But also, I'm thankful that along the way with those warnings, you'll also see God's promise of grace, that He's going to restore Israel. Huh? That He was going to once again do for His people Israel. Yes, we need to understand these. And we, all the way through the Scriptures, give ourselves to learn its principles, learn its truths. That in today, hey, tomorrow I'm certain, before you go too far into the day, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to make some choices. How are you going to make them? Well, we need to make them on the basis of the Word of God. Need to apply biblical. Beloved, by using the Scriptures as our filter of truth, we're able to avoid error. We're able to avoid error. But then thirdly, we see that we need to continue to grow in Christ. To continue. The way to avoid being led away with the error of the wicked is to continue to grow. Continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just when is it will we be finished growing in Christ? When will we become to full growth? And well, I could be wrong, and we'll find out someday. But I think we're talking about an infinite, eternal God. I believe that we'll be learning more about Him for all eternity. I had a beginning. Believe it or not, I had a beginning, but I don't have an end. I'm gonna live forever. I'm going to live forever. But I'm still going to be a finite creature in that sense that I'm not God. And I think we're going to have the pleasure, the joy, oh my, the excitement, if you will, to continue to learn about Him. But then the great thing is that the scales will fall away and we'll see Him as we've never seen Him before. Wow. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Continuing to grow in Christ. You know, just about the time you arrive to the place of full maturity is when you're in trouble. You think you've arrived. The word grow here means to increase. To increase. We're to grow or increase in what? Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We as Christians need to be like that healthy plant that's firmly and securely rooted in the good soil. We need to be rooted in this good soil. Soil of the Word of God. It won't wither there. It grows. We need to be growing, not withering. It doesn't wither, it grows. It sends out that new growth. It sends out branches. It produces fruit. And ultimately, it reproduces itself. Exactly. We should be reproducing. Amen. Christians, new believers in Christ. We need to continue to grow in His grace. Yes, sir. What's He say? Verse 18, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. What a prayer that should be. Grow in grace. Grow in God's good favor towards us. Grow in His blessing towards us. Grow in grace. Now clearly we need to grow in His grace. God has been pleased to manifest, to show us His blessings, His good favor, His undeserved favor to us, His favors, the blessings of His riches to us through His Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That grace, though, is given us not only. This is great. God extends His grace to us not only that we would come to know Him, but that we would continue to grow in Him by grace and in His grace, if that makes sense. I want to grow in grace. I know I've said this before, but being as I'm doing the preaching, I get to say it again. Dear old friend of mine, I got to see him this summer for a couple days. And I remember he and I sitting on a lazy afternoon on the shade and talking about the things of the Lord. And we was talking about grace. You've heard me say this. And he said it. I'll never forget it. It's been 25 years. He said, the recipients of grace should be gracious. Oh, wow. Hey, you and I that have experienced the grace of God, what's that all about? You and I that have experienced God's forgiveness, His mercy, His cleansing, and all of it, not because we deserved it, but because He was pleased to give it to us. You and I that have experienced that kind of grace, how should we behave in this world? Graciously. We should be gracious. Lord, help me to grow in that. I mean, you know how Brother Jeffrey laughs at me. I always use traffic illustrations. I'm not too gracious when I'm in traffic. Somebody cuts me off. I don't yell at them, but I talk very sternly. As if they could hear me. We need to continue to grow in His grace. Apostle Paul, suffering and battling physically, sought the Lord for his removal of that thing. We read that he prayed three times that God remove that thorn in his flesh. But the Lord told Paul, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, sir. My grace will be enough to to stay you through this, Paul. My grace is sufficient. It's through the outworking of the grace of God that He has been pleased to give us, and not only give us, to work in us. His grace should be working in us. It enables us. It gives us that strength. It gives us our love for Him, enabling us to live. Listen, to live a, I'll use this word, hopefully you understand, to live a beautiful life for Him. Huh? Now listen, a beautiful life doesn't necessarily mean that it's a life with no troubles, no problems, no issues. But a beautiful life for Christ is a life that gives Him glory, gives Him honor, gives Him that He deserves all along the way in dealing with those issues in life. It can be beautiful. It can be beautiful as God works His grace. We're to grow, we're to continue to grow in His grace, but as well, as we've already seen, we need to continue to grow in His knowledge, the grace and the knowledge. You know, the experts tell us that knowledge is increasing so fast these days, it's almost impossible to keep up with categorizing it. I guess it's the whole computer age. I read this. It says the knowledge, they call it the knowledge doubling curve. And this man noticed that until 1900, it said human knowledge doubled approximately every century. Every 100 years, what man knew would double. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not as simple as different types of knowledge, and there's different areas of knowledge. But on average, human knowledge is doubling, and this stat comes from 2013, but doubling every 13 months. And they say with the growth of the internet and all that, it won't be long till knowledge is doubling every 12 hours. Not information. Sometimes I think we're on information overload. We're living in a world of infomania. If you have a computer or even a smartphone now, you can tap into seemingly unlimited information. It's amazing. And boy, we sure enjoy it. Friends, there's an abundance indeed of worldly knowledge all around us. But the knowledge I need the most to negotiate the road of life is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to know more about Him. I want my knowledge of Him to increase, to double over and over and over again, huh? Might we focus on doubling our knowledge of Him? There are times, you know, along the way that we have to study other things. We have to learn how to do different things just because we do. I was in the 90s. I spent 10 years, Marsh and I spent 10 years as the caretakers of a little old church camp up in the hills of western Pennsylvania. I had to learn how to work on lawnmower engines. Oh my, that was exciting. I had to learn how to work on them things. And I spent hours studying how to work on a lawnmower engine. Don't ask me to fix your lawnmower. I've done my best to forget it all. It wasn't a subject I was, you know, extremely drawn to. But I needed to study how to fix them things if I was going to do a good job around that facility. We always had some broken down old beat up lawnmower to fix. That's okay. It's okay. But in these days, I've got a little bit more jealous of my time and what I want to give myself to. And I need to focus more and more on Jesus. More and more on Jesus. Knowing Him a whole lot better. Well, fourthly, we need to appropriate, real quickly here, need to appropriate the needed nutrients for growth. We're going to grow in Jesus. We need to appropriate the needed things so we can grow. So we can grow. Where am I going to find those things, preacher? Where am I going to find those things to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? How am I to appropriate those things into my life that I'll grow in those things of God? I want to grow in the things of God. Must. If I'm going to do that, I've got to take advantage of the things God has given us for growth. For growth. And obviously, it's through a daily time with Him. We need to spend time with Him. You know, Marcia and I have been married for 43, going on 44 years as of March 11th of next year. Be 44 years, I believe. She says I don't know her very well. I know her better than she thinks, really. You know, us guys, if you've been married this long, now all you young guys, don't listen to this, okay? Because I don't want to get you in trouble. I told it, tell the guys at the office, Marcia's coming in. I've been married 43 years. You know what that means? I don't have to say more than one word, and I can push her button. Huh? I'm getting a dirty look already. Huh? Hey, how long you been married? She'll come in the office. I'll say something, and I don't blame her. I did it. Those guys will look at me and think, "How? 43 years together by default, you learn some things. Fortunately, I also learned the things how to make those things right. Tell her how pretty she is. Huh? Tell her how much I love her. And I'm thankful. You know, she takes great care of herself. I'm so thankful because someday I'm going to need somebody to take care of me. That's why I keep saying nice things about her. It's no accident. It doesn't happen by chance, getting to know somebody. And if we're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to spend time with Him. Huh? Pray. Don't say prayers. Hey, we Baptists are just as guilty as others who have their little mantras and their you know, pre-worded prayers. We can be just as bad. Don't say prayers. Talk to God. We need a fellowship with Him. Talk. Hey, most of us need to just get honest with our God. Here I am, Lord. And this is what's going on. Help me. Huh? Talk to Him about it. We need to spend time with the Lord. Time. Hey, it won't happen in a hurry. You won't get to know somebody rushing through a conversation with them. Bang, bang, bang. Say what you got to say and you're on your way. It's not the way it works. You need to spend time with Him. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time not only with the Lord in prayer, but also in His Word. We've been talking about that through this message. We don't need to rehearse it now. We need to spend time. If I'm going to grow in His grace and knowledge, I need to spend time in His Word. Give myself to it. You say, preacher, it's so hard for me to understand the Bible. Hey, start somewhere, anywhere. Start in the Gospel of John, in Paul's letters. Just read. And meditate on the book. You'd be surprised what God would be pleased to teach you. Be surprised what He'd be pleased to reveal to you as you give yourself to Him. To know Him. But then thirdly, you need to take advantage of what God gives us through His church. Through a church just like this. Beloved, the Lord has provided these things for us. To grow in Him. We're exhorted in the Scriptures to make use of them. I've said this and I'm going to say it again. Forgive me. You're not only responsible for what you hear, beloved. God will hold you responsible someday for what you could have heard. What do you mean, preacher? It might just be this evening or Wednesday night. God has got a word that He has designed and put in a preacher's heart for you. You could have got it. But you didn't. We're going to be responsible for that someday. For what God is teaching us and what He could have taught us if we took advantage of it. We need to be mindful of that. We have the wrong motivation when we think that if we fulfill these things, somehow things will be better. Stick with me here. If we just have our devotions today, my life will be better. Really? Not necessarily. Now, is it important for me to have my devotions, my time in prayer and reading? Absolutely, I need that. But it's not some Christian mantra that's going to somehow give me better karma or something. It doesn't work like that. It's not the way it works. We spend time with the Lord and in prayer and His Word so that we can know Him better. And our fellowship with Him will be sweeter and sweeter all along the way. It's a big difference, beloved, between saying prayers and talking with God. There's a big difference between just checking off how many chapters we read and seeking the Lord in His Word. Big difference. It's not just fulfilling a requirement. It's growing in Him. Growing in Him and in His grace. Many a Baptist pastor contributes even to this error. I've witnessed the times when somebody go to their pastor and having an issue, a problem, a battle in their life, and he'll give them the advice, well, you need to read your Bible more and pray. Well, that's true. I dare say that we all need to read our Bible more and pray. But folks need more than that. Hey, it's my responsibility as a pastor to not just go through outlines. Well, we studied this chapter, this book, and so forth. Now we'll go to... Beloved, we need to grow in our Savior. We need to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God in such a way that it challenges us, yes, but it persuades us and it motivates us. As God the Holy Spirit would use His Word in our lives. It's not just fulfilling a time, but getting to know, spending time with Him, with our God. Well, the better you and I know our Savior, the better you and I know the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we'll love Him. Pick on my dear wife. Not picking on her, pick on myself, really. You know, when we got married all those years ago, I loved my wife. I loved her. But 44 years down the road, I love her so much more than I did then. Huh? I appreciate her so much more today than I did back all those years ago. Huh? Appreciate her. We know each other so much better. And the farther you go along with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the better you get to know Him, the more you experience that relationship with Him, you can't help. You can't help but love Him more. Appreciating all that He does for us. Appreciating His promises as guarantees in our life. As we grow in Him and in His grace, we can't help but love Him more. The better we know who He is, what He's done for us, how could we not love Him more? Love Him more. Our desire, our ultimate desire should be the same as Peter's as he closes this letter to Him. To Jesus, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What's Peter's prayer? That God would be glorified in my life right now, today, and forever, for all of eternity. And might it be our prayer that He would make it so. Amen and amen. Where are we at? Where are we at this morning? Talked about stability here, being steadfast, not being moved from that steadfastness. How's our stability in Christ? How's our footing in Him? Are you growing in Him, or are you withering away? Are we growing or withering? Begins with knowing Him as our Savior. Begins with being saved. You know, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to know you're saved. The only way you can know that is to experience it. Huh? I remember, even after 41 years, what it was like to be lost. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget it. You say, why? Because it helps me appreciate Him all the more. I appreciate Jesus more today because I remember what it was like to not know Him. Huh? Are you saved? The Scriptures say that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Plug your name in there. If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Remember what Peter was talking about earlier in the chapter. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His desire for you is that you be saved. That you be saved. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You, and I thank You. I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, my heart's desire that we would just love You all the more. We spent this week of thanksgiving, expressing gratitude and thankfulness, first to You, Lord, first to our God for saving us, for giving Your Son for us. We're thankful, Father, for every good, every perfect gift we receive from Your hand. Today, Father, I pray that we'd appreciate You. That You, our God, would be willing to become man to lay down Your life for us. Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray that we, saved, would grow in Your grace and in Your knowledge. The knowledge of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. But Lord, I ask you in His name, if there's anyone here today with any question, any doubt about where they'll spend eternity, that You would do for them right now. Help them, Father, that they might see Jesus. They'd see this one who loved them so much to lay down His life for them. To see Him who died to pay the price of their sin, to forgive them, to cleanse them, to make them a brand new creature in Christ. Lord, please, please make that real to every heart. Especially those ones who need to be saved today. Father, we will give You glory. We will give You the praise for everything that You will do in our midst today. Thank You for speaking to us from Your Word. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. in Jesus' name. Amen. John, yes.
Page 201.
As we sing, folks, please just do what the Lord would have you do. His altars are open as always. Please obey the Lord. Friend, if you're here today and you need Christ, you need to be saved, please come. Take myself, Curtis, or Pastor Little by the hand and just tell us you want to be saved. You want to know where you'll spend eternity. Be our joy, our great pleasure to point you to Jesus. We don't want you to leave this place still under the wrath of God and the condemnation of sin. Oh, God forbid that any person, even one, would leave here unsaved today. You have the opportunity right now to respond to Christ and what He's done for you. Would you be saved? Let's see.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me.
More. More about Jesus. So thankful that I don't serve a God that I can have all figured out. We don't serve a God that we can put in a box. And sure enough, by the time you think you got that box all closed up and nailed down, He's going to push His way out of it. Huh? He's too big for His creation, let alone for a box that we would make for Him. He's a great God. To know Him better. More. Might that be our prayer this morning, beloved? More about Him. More about Him. Be our prayer. Father, we bow before You once again. Lord, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your great grace. Thank You, Father, for working in our hearts. Thank You for working in my heart. Lord, I pray for us as a church. I pray for every individual within these walls. Lord, would we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, might we know more of Him. Please bless. Use us for Your glory, Father. Use us for Your honor and Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd ask you to be praying for, there's several having surgery ahead. Miss Susie's going to have surgery on Tuesday afternoon, I guess it's scheduled for. Brother Bruce Martin is traveling tonight. He'll be traveling down the... Are you going first to Mexico City? He'll be leaving from DFW to Mexico City and then on down to the state of Chiapas. Do you start teaching tomorrow night? Tuesday. So please pray for him. He's going to be in a couple conferences in Mexico this week teaching and preaching. So please pray for Brother Bruce.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Praise Him, Praise Him, all you little children.
Praise Him, praise Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Praise Him, praise Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love.
You're dismissed.